Just worship the Lord one more time. Lord Jesus, praise God. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the presence that we feel here tonight in this place, Lord. God, I praise you, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that your word, Lord, as it goes forth tonight, God, that the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God, would be upon it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. Hashata Ramushata. Hashata, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord God. Lord, we pray, Lord. We pray, Lord. Praise God. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hadamoshondolotaramohashata. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Such a sweet presence of the Spirit of God here tonight in this place. Praise God, praise God. If you need something from the Lord tonight, it's here. It's here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. If you have a need tonight, he said he will meet that need. So many times we hear that and we think, Lord, it's for somebody else. We always feel that maybe God, our need or our situation or our problem, our circumstances are too hard for God. But God says, I will meet any need. I can meet any need. I desire to meet your need. You can go ahead and be seated tonight. Friday night in our prayer meeting, our once a month revival corporate prayer meeting, we'll be introducing the next month's series in the month of June. What we're going to be talking about in the month of June, we're going to be building up a bit, preparing for when Brother Morton Bustard comes. I just believe that God is desiring to do some great things. And I just feel that God is desiring to do some miracles, signs, and some wonders, and he's desiring to use us as his vessel. And so we'll be talking about some of that a little bit on Friday night, just kind of the introduction to that. Tonight, this is our last message on this series of holiness. We've been on this topic since the beginning of April. And tonight I would like to end this series, and what I would like to title this message tonight, The Harmony of Holiness. The Harmony of Holiness. You see, holiness, harmony, and unity, I seem to be very loud up here, Brother Scott. I don't know how I am out there. But harmony, holiness, harmony, and unity is so very important in the kingdom of God. It's so very important in the house of God. As we're here tonight and we're experiencing the presence of God, we feel a spirit of unity in the place. I feel a strong spirit of harmony with God here tonight in this place. But we've all heard the statement, united we stand and divided we fall. And this is true on every level of society in which we live in. We look at our ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church, the ministries that you are involved in as a saint of God, and united you will stand, and divided you will fall, because the presence of God will not dwell in a mess. God desires to dwell in a spirit of unity. And when we look at our government, we look at our nation today, and we are so divided. And it grieves me to know that at one time we were very much the United States of America, but it seems like the longer we go, it's the divided states of America. United, we will stand if we stand together, but divided, we will fall. We look in business, and you look at businesses, and you look at the business strategies, and sometimes you have opposing strategies in a business. And if that business stays united, it will stand. But if it begins to allow division to creep into every level of that business, it will fall. When we look at management and management styles, and you may work for a manager that has a lot of unity in maybe the department that you work with at where you work, and there's a lot of unity in there, and then there seems to be other departments where there's a lot of division, and it seems where there's a lot of unity, a lot of work gets done, and people seem to be much happier about their job. But where there is a division, not a whole lot of work gets done. There's more fingers being pointed at everyone else. Then we look in our homes, and we look at our home. If it is a home that is built on a firm foundation, the principles that are found in the Word of God, we can have a united home. We can have a united marriage. We can have united children. And that can go on from generation to generation. But also, if we allow the enemy into our homes and division steps into the home, we can divided, the home of fall. It is so true, and also true in the church, in the body of Christ. We, I believe, have a mandate from Scripture that we should be a specific kind of church. When Jesus was here on earth and he began to lay out the type of a church that he was going to lay out, the type of a kingdom he was going to lay out, he desired to have a people that dwelt and worked in unity. We are one in spirit. We are one in purpose. We are one in passion for the kingdom of God. If we are focused on our own private agendas, then the kingdom that we are seeking to build and help Jesus Christ build will not flourish. Listen, church, you don't have to look very far to look at Satan and his kingdom and at how very well organized his kingdom is. There is no fussing and there's no fighting within his kingdom. There's no backbiting. There's no challenge to authority. All of demonic spirits all work in perfect harmony with one goal in mind, and that one goal in mind is to destroy your soul and to destroy the souls of mankind, and he is doing a very remarkable job. He's succeeding at what he does. He is relentless. He's never tiring. His servants of evil are on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all in perfect unity, all in perfect symphonic harmony. I believe it was Mark Twain who made the statement. He used to say that if you put a dog and a cat into a cage together as an experiment, he put a dog and a cat in a cage together as an experiment to see if they would get along. And after putting them in the cage, he found out that the dog and the cat, they got along. So he put in a bird, and then he put in a pig, and then he put in a goat, and they too all got along fine after just a few minor adjustments. But he said, then he put in a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic. We could put a Pentecostal. We could put any other denomination in there. And soon there was not a living thing left. You see, in these last days, church, it's paramount that we work together in a holy harmony. A holy harmony for the kingdom of God. Over the past few weeks, I spent some time looking into the rise and fall of some of the greatest revivals that have happened here on this soil in America over the past century. And with each revival, it can be attributed to the fact that the church or a group of believers gathered together, not always in the same denomination, but all with the same harmonic goal, and that is to get and seek more from God. They gather together in harmony, in a holy harmony, a holy unity. They begin to pray. They begin to seek the face of God, putting all personal agendas and personal opinions aside. You see, there was a passion for purity. There was a passion for holiness. There was a passion for souls and a passion for prayer, all in unity and all in harmony in a corporate prayer meeting. It was then and only then that when they were in that harmonic vein with God, that things began to happen. The anointing began to fall and flow throughout their ranks, and miracles and signs and wonders began to happen, and people were healed from all manner of sicknesses and diseases, and thousands were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It began to spread like a wildfire in a dry California canyon, all over the country, from city to city and from town to town and from family to family. And if you can read about some of the old tent meetings that popped up all over the country, it seemed to be an unstoppable force as it began to sweep across this great country of ours. But we must understand that the anointing on any one of us, the anointing that is on any one of us is not as powerful as the anointing that is on all of us. You see, I alone can't fight every battle that needs to be fought, and you alone can't fight every battle that needs to be fought. But when we work together in harmonic holiness, when we work together in unity, there is nothing that can stand in front of us and before us. You see, unity brings us power. Unity helps us overcome the impossible and reach the unachievable. It makes the impossible change. And it makes the change and changes dreams into reality. But we as a corporate body of Christ, as we gather together, we suffer together in the name of Jesus. We sing together in worship. We're joined together through His Spirit and through His blood. We stand together. We flow together. We pray together in corporate prayer meetings. And we pray before our meetings. We need to, before our all of the meetings that we have here at church, we need to begin them with prayer. And end them with prayer. If we have a men's prayer breakfast, we need to pray before and after the breakfast, and we need to pray before our Sunday school classes start, and we need to pray before our ministry teams start. We need to agree together because we're planted together. We're laborers together. We're quickened together. We're bound together. We're framed together. Henry Ford put it like this: coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress, but working together is success. And with success, you have to have unity. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep what? The unity of the Spirit. And keep the unity and Spirit in what? In the bond of peace. Luke 4:16-21. Jesus, as he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And as he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them all were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. You see, God is anointing his body to do his work for his kingdom. In his kingdom, his work, there are no stars, there are no big eyes, and there are no little U's. There's just different ministries and different responsibilities. When Jesus Christ walked among men, he taught his disciples, he taught them to work together. He taught them to minister together, and he taught them to pray together. He taught them to fast together and to worship together. That's why in the book of Acts, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, that they had been together for some 3.5 years. It was not their first time in ever getting together in a meeting like that. And he anointed his disciples to do the work of the ministry. In Matthew 28:19, he commissioned them. He commissioned the body of Christ because we have the responsibility to bear the anointing for ministry and fulfill the call of work for the kingdom of God. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And the only Jesus Christ that some people will see is the Jesus Christ that is living within us. And we have to ask ourselves sometime, what kind of Jesus Christ am I showing? Am I showing a Jesus Christ of love? Am I showing a Jesus Christ that has compassion? Or am I showing a Jesus Christ that is harsh, condescending, and judgmental? Last weekend we had our Brat Fest. And I would like to tell and like to say a big, huge thank you to Tim and Kim Knopp. Let's give them a big hand for all of the work. That went into this. You see, all of the volunteers that showed up there at Brat Fest, you were not volunteering and you are not a representation from Calvary Gospel Church. You are a representation of the kingdom of God. I understand that you're a member of Calvary Gospel Church and that there's a connection with Calvary Gospel Church. But you were there representing Jesus Christ. And it makes my heart swell with pride as pastor that to know that the great examples of Jesus Christ that was manifested at the Broadfest this year. We just got to keep doing it. You see, we are making a difference in our world, whether it's selling brats or Touch Twice or bus ministry or outreaches. We're making a difference in our community. People are seeing a difference. What is different about those young people? What's different about Tim and Kim Knopp? What's different? We must be able to take and see the big picture and recognize that God desires to loose what I would call a corporate anointing upon his church. Not just anointing upon the pastor or the preacher or who's ever preaching, but anointing upon each and every one of you. We're going to talk about this going into next month. This is kind of a segue message wrapping up this past few months and looking into next month. We got to see the bigger picture and recognize that God desires, in order that the kingdom of God might be established in all of the earth, and he desires to have a great anointed congregation, a great anointed church here in Dane County. We desire to see a wave of God's Spirit flow over this country. Reading from 2 Chronicles 5, 11 through 15, we see the corporate anointing as it is released at the dedication of Solomon's temple. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not wait by course. I looked that up. What was that really saying? It says it means that they were preparing themselves for worship. They were preparing themselves for duty, whether they were on duty that day or not. They were preparing themselves for ministry. Even though they may not have been on the schedule, they were preparing themselves to preach. They were preparing themselves to minister in song. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, of Asbeth and Heman and Jeduthun, with all their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, they were in unity, working together to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Unity is what brought that on. A presence of holiness is what brought that on. In order for us to establish a corporate anointing, we need to be sanctified, or we need to be in the process of being sanctified. And sanctification means to be clean, to dedicate, and to be holy. And Pastor spoke on Sunday morning so well concerning Belshazzar and the desecration of the temple, the instruments and the vessels of the temple. And if you weren't here Sunday morning, you need to listen to it. We need to be dedicated. We need to be holy. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24 says, "But ye have not learned Christ, if ye be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Holiness means to be separated from darkness and linked into, tethered into, tied into God. When we received this great revelation of holiness, it changed our character. Coming full circle here on holiness from where we started, Isaiah in chapter 6 said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and a hot coal was removed from the altar of the Lord, and it touched my lips, and I cried. My iniquity is taken from me, and my sin purged." I pray tonight that the hot coals from the altars of heaven would touch our lips and purge us from our sin and our iniquity. And after our sin is purged from our lips, I pray that we are like the prophet who God asked him, "Who shall I send?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me." The words were penned some years ago that I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God that I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am through the grace of the Almighty God. When we believe we're holy, when we believe we're holy, we begin to act like we're holy. And then the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, which dwells inside of us, can do His great work through us and in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says what? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You were bought. I was bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I thank God that He has control in my life. Something that we all struggle with. Sometimes He isn't very much in control, and sometimes we try to wrestle control. We need to allow God to be in complete control of our lives, and we need to allow the Holy Ghost to transform our lives and make us into new vessels of honor. It helps us to overcome sin. It helps us to overcome oppression that tries to worm its way into our lives. When the enemy comes, the holiness that is within us, the holiness of God, can rise up within us as He fellowships with us, as our relationship with Him grows. His Spirit begins to change us, and it begins to mature us. We need to be mature in God. Some of us need to grow up in God. We've been an adolescent far too long, and we need to grow up in God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? We need to dig into the Word. We need to grow up. Reading from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly. Let's read that again. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part maketh increased of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Unity. Our bodies work in unity. My foot can't go out for a walk by itself. My hand can't go and just say, I'm going to go to the mall today. We will see you later, and it walk away. I am a body in unity with each other. Where my foot goes, my other foot goes. And where my feet go, where the brain tells it to go. And my hands do what the brain tells it to do. And there are parts of my body that I can't even see. And I will probably seal my lips in death and never see them. But they have a function. There's an importance in your body. The harmony of holiness requires unity. If we wish to have a corporate anointing, we must have corporate unity. It won't happen any other way. John 13:35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So what sets us apart, what sets you apart, is our love one for another. You see, God gave ministries to this church, I believe, to bring us into unity. You see, corporate anointing will bring success in outreach ministries. It'll bring success in outreach, a corporate anointing. A corporate disunity or corporate unity, corporate disunity will destroy our outreach. You want our CIP ministry to flourish? We need unity in the CIP ministry. Our children's ministry to flourish? We need unity. Our youth ministry, in fact, any ministry in the house of God requires unity. It requires maturity in God. And unity is maturity. You see, self is all about the individual, but kingdom is all about the body. Ephesians 4:4 tells us that we are all one body. The church is not made up of a bunch of disconnected people and a bunch of disjointed people. And I firmly believe that the reason in many cases we have been outwitted by our enemy is simply because we refuse at times, we refuse to work together. And if we do it reluctantly. We refuse to be humble and we think of ourselves as better than others. Listen, God is not interested in how talented you are. And he doesn't care how great. He doesn't care, and he's not even interested in people who think that they're great. It doesn't matter to God what you think about yourself. It's his opinion that matters. 1 Peter 5:5 says, to you younger ministers in the faith, you younger men in the faith, accept the authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility. If you're a young minister here this morning or this evening, I'm sorry, and you're growing in your ministry, you need to accept the authority of the elders and all of you that and all of you who serve. We serve each other in humility. David says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than sit with a bunch of brain bots that know everything about everything that there ever was to know. That's my paraphrase on that. You see, God sets himself against the proud. What does that mean to set himself against the proud? It's like he pushes, he sets himself, like if you're a football player and you're a lineman and someone's coming at you, you set yourself. You get into that stance to where you set yourself. And God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favor to the hungry, to the humble. Must be thinking about food here. Oh, let me say, whatever ministry that you're involved in, and listen to this very carefully. whatever ministry you're involved in, if people are constantly challenging your authority, and people are constantly bringing in disunity in your ministry, I want you to go home tonight, and I want you to look at yourself in a mirror, and I want you to ask yourself this question. What am I doing in my life that is causing disunity to come to my ministry? You see, because sometimes we bring disunity to our ministries because we won't subject ourselves to the authority that is over us. Reminds me of the story of David and Nathan, the prophet. You remember when David sinned? And Nathan came and told him a little story about a man who had all of these lambs. And he desired to have the one lamb of the poor family that only had the one little lamb. And the wealthy farmer was having a whole bunch of people over, and he went and took the one ewe lamb from the one family and served that as a meal, and they went without. And so he took that one ewe lamb, and David was all upset, and he said, "You show me who that man is, and I will have him killed." David looked at him and said, or Nathan looked at him and said, "David, you are that man." So sometimes when we struggle in our ministries and we wonder why things go wrong in our families, we wonder why our children are rebelling against our youth pastor, and we wonder why we're having all of these problems, we need to take a look in the mirror, because maybe God is saying, "You are the problem." You see, God hates sin, and he will not bless disunity. He can't, because it goes against his own principles. Why did the early church have such power and anointing on them? Because they had unity. Now, they didn't all agree on the same things. And even as pastors here, I would have to say that I haven't always agreed with Pastor Thomas, and he hasn't always agreed with me. And we haven't always agreed with our senior pastor, John Grant, and we haven't always agreed with Pastor Seidel or Pastor Phil. There's been disagreements, but you know what? You're never going to know about them. I'm not going to get up here publicly and state that I have a disagreement with Pastor Thomas. I'm not going to do that. You see, they had unity. They didn't agree on the same things, but you know, sometimes we have to put ourselves aside, we have to put our pride aside, and we have to move on. So when you look back at all of those revivals that happened in the past century or so, why did they just eventually fade into history? Why is it something that we're reading about in history books instead of experiencing today, Pastor Thomas? Did God just simply run out of power? Did God just run out of steam? And say, "I've given all I can give. I don't have any more to give. I got to take some time off and regenerate myself." What happened? What happened to those great revivals? Well, over time, unity began to crumble. Every one of them. Even the Acts experience over a period of time, unity began to crumble. Egos begin to step up, and the flesh begin to show up. Prayer begin to cease, and programs begin to increase. And as prayer diminished, and stopped, the unity stopped. And because the unity stopped, the Spirit of God stopped flowing. You see, without corporate prayer, without a praying church, we can't have a revival church. The vision stepped in, and what once was seemingly unstoppable now was shattered into multiple smaller groups. As the groups began to fuss with one another, they began to lose their passion for souls. They lost their desire for purity and holiness. Thus, their fear of God began to fade, and God's vision became man's agenda. The miracles began to cease, and God's Spirit stopped flowing. We want to kill a revival church? All we have to do is stop praying. And if we stop praying, then our unity will cease and division will step in. It's happened every time. Because because that's human nature. When we're not plugged in with the power and the presence of the Almighty God, we can't experience the revival that God wants us to have. Let's become as committed to a corporate anointing and corporate unity as we are to individual anointing. When the corporate anointing is established within the church, church-wide, we will have a powerful, Spirit-filled house of worship. I love the presence of God that we had in here. We still have in here, but we experienced in our worship service tonight. Thank you so much to our worship team. Reading from 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. And it even came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. And I'm rereading this. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then the house was filled with a cloud. Oh, I desire to see the house of worship filled with a cloud so that the singers can't sing and the minister can't minister and the presence of the Shekinah glory of God begins to flow into this place. It's a spirit of unity. The glory of the Lord, as it flows into a place, it brings with it all the ingredients it needs for miracles. It brings with it all the ingredients it needs to meet the needs that are here. The holiness and the unity and the anointing of God. God's power is in this place tonight. It is only through our worship and praise and achieving a life of holiness. It's only then when we seek and see the miracles and the signs and the wonders that God wishes to do. You see, we have to be in sync with God because God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalms 95, 1 through 7 in closing, as our musicians come. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deepest places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. I want to open up this altar tonight for prayer. When's the last time you heard the voice of God in your life? When's the last time you've listened to the voice of God as it speaks to you? The still quiet of the night. In order to listen and hear the voice of God, we've got to be in unison with God. If you're struggling in ministry and you're struggling with unity in your family, with unity in your ministry, unity in your life, unity in your job. You could find that harmony tonight. Harmony through the holiness of the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. Church, if we want to experience the miracles that God wants us to experience, we've got to get on our faces and we've got to pray. We've got to put self aside. We can't get any farther than our talent will take us. And we can't do it on talent. We need the presence of an Almighty God. Let's pray tonight, church. Let's reach out to God. Let's pray that He would give us a spirit of unity. Don't pray that He give the next person. Pray that you, that God gives you the spirit of unity. To see signs and a desire to see wonders, a desire to see you manifest your glory, a desire to see you manifest your power, a desire to see you manifest your anointing. I pray, Lord, for each and every person here. I pray, Lord God, for each and every ministry leader, God. I pray, Lord God, for the harmony of holiness within our church, Lord. The harmony, Lord, of holiness, God, and unity, Lord. God, I pray, Lord God, for harmony and prayer, Lord, that we pray together, Lord. We worship together, Lord. We work together in your kingdom, God, because we're bound together through your blood. Of the Holy Ghost would flow, Lord. Lord Jesus, God, I pray, Lord God, that we are consecrated vessels, Lord, before your altar, Lord. I pray, God, that we not desecrate our vessel, Lord, before you, Lord. I pray, Lord God, against the spirits, Lord, that would come against to try to destroy the Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, I worship you, Lord. God, you are holy, God. Lord, you are holy, Lord. You are holy, God. You are holy, Lord. God, hallelujah. Lord, I pray, God, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would rest upon this place, Lord. God, I worship you, Lord. God, I worship you. Touch my heart.